Reading today is from John 20, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Second reading is from 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the word of the Lord.
And so we'd like to welcome up Martin to come and speak to us this morning. Martin, maybe you can share something of your story with us before you start to speak from those passages. I'm sure people would love to hear something about who you are and how you've got here this morning.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be back at Emmanuel and to be with you all again. We come roughly once a year here, and that's lovely. And of course, the men's breakfast, lots of familiar faces, which is nice. So lovely to be here. Thank you so much. How did we get here? Well, by car. By the grace of God. Who am I, or who are we? Well, you can read about that, because we've both written our biographies, and you will notice that we put a book table with the Goldsmith books there, and you'll see they're all on special offer, because we get them at a big discount and like to pass virtually all of that on to you. Elizabeth has written her life story, starting in China, where she was born and grew up, and during the Second World War was in a Japanese prison camp in China. Christians are not immune from suffering. And then the book goes on after that experience in China and coming back to Britain, or coming to Britain, after the Second World War. And the second half of the book describes some of our experiences as missionaries in Indonesia particularly. And I'm sure you keep up to date on church history here, and so you won't need me to tell you that the Indonesian church now has as many active Christians as all of Western Europe put together. And just in case you weren't sure, Britain is part of Western Europe. Not a political statement, purely spiritual. We worked with one of the Batak churches, the Batak Karo people, in a small denomination there. When we went there, it just had 20,000 members. When we left, it had 25,000, but today it has 1.5 million. Just to remind you that actually God can do great things, not just in healing, but also in bringing renewal into a country and bring the multitudes to know the Lord. And I hope you're looking for that in Chichester. In fact, as we look at that sort of thing, I realize increasingly that if the Christian church in Britain is really to recapture this country in a significant way, then it will probably come not through the British at all, but it will come through ethnic minorities here in Britain, who have the dynamic and the vitality and the life and the evangelistic passion and the evangelistic knowledge how to do it, that we in Britain generally lack. And so I look for it. And we have connections also with China because of Elizabeth, still on God Can Be Trusted here. the church that we relate to mainly is up in the north of China in a city called Lanzhou. We know that church well, and they know us. Last time I was there, about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I was talking with the senior pastor, and she welcomed me and said, you know, welcome back, etc. And then she said, you'll, of course, want to know how the church is doing. So I'll just give you the statistics, she said, and then you'll see. And she said, well, we have 4,000 adults now on a Sunday. Young people and children in China, in the main churches, don't come to the main auditorium because there's no room for them. So they meet in a separate hall, one hall for the young people and another hall for the children. But adults, there were, she said, 4,000. But she said, what really pleased us is that we've grown in our outreach, and we now have 68 satellite churches, and she said, a bit over 100 preaching stations. And I rejoiced with her, these satellite churches and preaching stations. And then I realized that I've been using these words for many years, but I wasn't quite sure what they really meant. So I asked her, and she said, oh, it's very simple. A satellite church, she said, is just a little church it's coming, praise the Lord, and we rejoice in it, but, you know, it's still small and not big enough to have its own pastor or run its own show. It's just a satellite church. And that would be between 150 and 450 adults on a Sunday. And then she said, a preaching station, of course, is not a church at all. It's just a group. And again, praise the Lord that the group's come into being. And it's, you know, we hope it'll become a satellite church and eventually become a proper church. And that would be anything under 150 adults on a Sunday. I didn't like to tell her that in our little village in Hertfordshire, we get about 30 adults. I don't think that would even be a preaching station. And if I told her we actually have a vicar, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Well, anyway, we want to put Elizabeth's life story together with my life story. It includes my conversion because I don't come from a Christian background at all. It also has a lot of international experience. And we put the two of them together for £6. Just very, very quickly, three other books. My latest book is on storytelling. We all believe in telling stories, and it's the modern pattern of communication, politically as well as spiritually. And I hope you'll enjoy it as well as benefit from it. Two biblical books. I'm Jewish, and so both are looking at scripture with Jewish eyes, which I think can be quite a good thing, actually, because you may not realize it, but we actually wrote the scriptures. uh, You thought it was an English person who wrote them, didn't you? I know. Sorry to shock you. Well, Matthew and Mission, the Gospel through Jewish Eyes, an exposition of Matthew's Gospel, and then an exposition of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Such a relevant little book for Britain today, Habakkuk. Any complaints? Blame God, which is what the prophet does. So if you're wanting a prophetic ministry today, just blame God. Okay. You'll notice that all the books, except what I've just mentioned, are £5 each, but I've put a notice there for that. We had excellently read to us just now something of from John's Gospel, why John wrote his Gospel. And then we moved on to our second reading, why John wrote his letters. And I believe as I look at Britain today that our so-called Gospel, our traditional Gospel, has been very much based on Paul and forgiveness of sin. And I find in Britain today, and in many other countries too, people don't have a sense of sin and are frankly not interested in forgiveness of sin because they don't feel any sense of sin. And therefore, our Gospel is not good news to them. Now, a couple of years ago, a couple turned up at our church in our village who didn't know anybody in the church, and nobody in the church knew them. And suddenly, one Sunday, there they were. And of course, we welcomed them afterwards over coffee and chatted with them and so on. And I asked them what had brought them to the church. You know, very, very welcome, lovely to see them, etc., etc. But what had brought you to the church? And it was, it had been back to church Sunday. And one of those back to church Sunday leaflets had been put through their door. And this couple, no Christian background whatsoever, they picked up this leaflet and they looked at each other and they said, I wonder if we should give this a try. Because there must be more to life than what we've got. Now they had, both of them had highly paid jobs of satisfaction, job satisfaction, and they were, you know, a youngish couple, happily married, and a beautiful home. Humanly speaking, they've got everything. But notice that expression, which I'm hearing increasingly, there must be more to life than what we've got. Now, through our village, there's a nice little river. And on that river, there are quite a few narrow boats, you know, those long boats that people live on. And they have pretty little names. And one day I was walking down the river, and there was a boat there, and its name was rather interesting. Let me spell it to you. Can you picture it now, the spelling? A-D-A-N-U-F-F. Now, I don't think they were Bulgarians, Adanov. Could have been, couldn't it? Sadly, I've never been able to meet them. The boat is always locked and nobody there. When I've seen it, I've only seen it a couple of times and it must have sailed on. But I would have loved to have talked with those people, whoever it was that lived on that boat. had enough. I've had enough. Yes. Sorry you don't speak proper English down here, but Hertfordshire English, which of course is proper English, had enough. I've had enough. There must be more, isn't there? Or is there? Is there more to life than what we've got? And John's message is a message of life. Did you pick it up in that reading in John 20 and verse 21? Where are we? I've lost it. 31, I beg your pardon. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life. Precisely the answer to I've had enough. Precisely the answer to there must be more to life than what we've got. That's John's message right through, and it comes again and again and again and again right through John's gospel. Life. Life on earth. The resurrection life. And the heart of the gospel is not just the cross. The heart of the gospel is the cross and the resurrection. The two going together. And the climax is the resurrection. And the resurrection is not the ascension. The resurrection is Jesus coming back to life in this world, is it not? And then comes the ascension. And John is having precisely that. The resurrection, new life now, resurrection life now. There is more to life than what we've got. But then also, he talked very much not only of life and life abundant, but also eternal life. And several of you here join with Elizabeth and me in being antique. And the antiques among us, we know that we're going to die fairly soon. Let's be open. Don't need to get worried about it. Because John is saying that death is the gateway to eternal life. And life is ours. And actually the same comes in 1 John. But 1 John has a little bit more than life. And we'll get to that more in a moment. But when we read now in 1 John, and chapter 1, verse 2, the life appeared. And we proclaim to you the eternal life. Yeah, it's life, both life now in the resurrection of Jesus, with the life of Jesus, but it's also eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So life, the message of life. But then John is really amazing in that first letter of John. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. Yes, and he said that already, what we've seen and heard and even touched. And of course, John was an old man by the time he wrote this. And he'd actually lived with Jesus. He'd walked through Galilee, etc., with Jesus. You know, amazing. But he's writing not just to old people, but to people of all ages. And of course, most of them have never actually walked with Jesus physically on earth. And he's saying, we've actually seen him. we've actually touched him and we've heard his teaching. We heard him, saw him, touched him. And that's what we're telling you. Well, of course, you and I, even the antiques among us, don't go back to the first century. I know some of you thought that I was that old. But we've come to know Jesus, haven't we? And we've seen him with our spiritual eyes. Not our physical eyes, but with our spiritual eyes. We've heard his teaching. Because we've got the scriptures right here. And we've had that living personal contact with him. We've touched him by faith. So we've also got that experience of Jesus. And John says, that experience I pass on to you. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. In order that, amazing. Why do we witness? Why do we proclaim Jesus? Why do we want people to know Jesus? Well, John says, so that you also may have fellowship with us. That's amazing, isn't it? Here's what we long for. You know, we've got such rich fellowship together, loving each other and enjoying each other, and the fellowship and the love and the community and the relationships that we have together. It's wonderful, isn't it? I hope it is. So wonderful, our fellowship, that we go out onto the streets of Chichester and we see all sorts of people in the shops there, and we say, how we wish that they could have fellowship with us. How we wish that they could enjoy the love and that relationship and community, because we live in a society of broken relationships, don't we? Of loneliness. A few years ago, the European Union did a social survey. And one of the questions was, what is your main problem in life? And I think they expected everybody to say, you know, lack of money or inadequate housing or, you know, job problems or something. And 91% said loneliness. Number one problem right throughout Europe, including Britain. Loneliness. Broken relationships, lack of that fellowship. Sisters and brothers, it's key that you build that relationship together. In our little village church, I realized that we needed that. And I've got no authority in the church whatsoever. But I started suggesting that we have just an informal coffee in a local garden center once a week. And you don't need to say if you're coming or not coming, but people can just come, enjoy a coffee together. Every week, same time, same part of the garden center, so they know everybody knows where to find you. And it's built the fellowship. I sometimes feel the key part of our worship is actually the coffee afterwards. Where we build our fellowship together. So John says that I've written these things in order that you may have fellowship with us. And of course, our fellowship is not just coffee fellowship. It's not just football club fellowship. Our fellowship, John goes on and says, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a deep, personal, spiritual relationship It's that sort of fellowship. It's got a caliber and a quality to it in Christ that just a football supporters club or something doesn't have. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to conclude, we write this to make our joy complete. Our joy? Well, actually, there's an alternative reading. It could be your joy. But then, if you join us, then your joy is our joy and our joy is your joy. There's no difference, is there? We want you to join us, John is saying, in our fellowship together, that loving communication together. Our joy would then be complete. Full, completed joy. And in that life of Jesus that we enjoy together, not just individually, but corporately in relationship and fellowship and love together, there is joy and the fullness of joy. It's wonderful. Yeah? So, sisters and brothers, let me urge you, communicate your faith here in Chichester and more widely, of course, worldwide, because our, you know, the world is our parish, Asia and Africa and the whole of Europe, as well as Chichester. Communicate your faith in Jesus, what you have seen, what you have heard, what you have touched. That personal experience, share it with others so that they may have fellowship with you. And let me urge you, work on that fellowship together. Work on it to make that fellowship so loving, so satisfying, so rich that you just long for other people to be able to have fellowship with you. And then their joy and your joy together will be complete. Hallelujah. Amen.
Well, I think it would be great if we can just give thanks to Martin in the usual way. I mean, he's come from Hertfordshire, as he made a point of telling us. Of course, we all know that Buckinghamshire is the better of the two counties. But thank you, Martin. Can we give him a round of applause? And as Martin emphasized in his talk, the need for us to go out and communicate good news. And I think the first thing he presented to us was that question of what is your good news? What are you actually communicating to the people around us? Do you have that sort of classic Pauline approach? Or is it Max? Or do we need to rethink and think about what John is teaching us about actually life? Because, there's a need for both. I mean, that's the reality, isn't it? But John is saying God wants you to have life here. It's not just about what's coming later. Yeah, that is also important, but actually John says, you've got to, live now. Choose life now. And then the fellowship afterwards, the need to concentrate on fellowship and making our community so attractive that people want to know more, want to join in. We're going to have tea and coffee, and that's going to be the opportunity to work on fellowship at the back. You may want to sign up to some of those events about us as we build community. You may want to think about, if you're a lady, bringing a friend to that pamper evening. If you do, please speak to myself, Lou, or Jill, and we'll sign you up. Or any of the other events, go and see myself or Jill, and we'll sign you up on the church builder. If you want prayer for anything, if God has spoken to you in any way today, it may be the challenge that Martin brought and just to rethink how you communicate what God is doing in your life. And you need to seal that. You know, God has spoken to you and said, that's you, and I want you to seal that in your heart today. Then we have a prayer team. They're going to meet. They'll be over that side. They'll stand alongside you, but they'll pray for anything. If you've got things going in your life, whether you need healing or you've got issues that you would like people just to stand alongside you and pray, we always do that. We believe that God is a God that answers prayer. There's nothing weird. There's nothing weird, and they aren't weird. They're lovely people. They'll stand alongside you and pray. Tea and coffee at the back. Martin and Elizabeth will be hanging around. Their bookstore is here if you want to buy any of those books. Our usual church bookstore is over there. Shall we stand? And as Martin spoke about fellowship, he spoke about community as part of his talk today. As we go, should we share the peace with each other as a way of finishing and moving into tea, coffee, and fellowship? So the peace of the Lord be always with you. So let's offer one another a sign of peace as we gravitate in one direction or another.